The Inyan of the Egel, which is of course the centerpiece of this week's Parsha, is very, very difficult to understand, very complicated, and almost impossible to speak about. How are we meant to understand the Jewish nation, the ones who witnessed the Eser Malkos, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and even more so, the people who just 40 days ago said Na'aseh V'Nishma, how could they have fallen to such a low state? Of course, there are many, many different things that have been written about this, many, many different lessons that we can learn from it and ways to understand it. I'm just going to try and focus on one lesson that we can learn. So just to examine what actually happened there and to see how ludicrous the whole thing was. It doesn't even make sense. How could they say, Kum ase lanu elohim? How could they say this to Aaron? Get up and make us a god. Is it possible to make a god? Don't they understand that you can't make a god? And why would they even need a god? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Why do they need a new one? How could good, intelligent people say about something that they have just put together themselves, Ela Elehecha Yisrael Asher Ha'alucha Me'eretz Mitzrayim? Look, this is your god, Klal Yisrael, who took you out of Mitzrayim. They know good and well that they just took their own gold and threw it into the fire and this egel came out. Could they be so stupid? And if they were stupid, then Hashem wouldn't have gotten angry at them. He would have pitied them. And if they were so lacking intelligent, they wouldn't have been called the Dar Dea. They wouldn't have been the ones to receive the Torah. So the Medrash tries to give this some understanding and says that what was really going on there was that they had mixed up the days. Meaning they knew that Moshe was supposed to be up there for 40 days, but they counted the day that he went up as day number one, which meant that on day 40 for them, which was really day 39, they start to panic. Where is he? Where is Moshe? And they're counting the hours, and 6 hours pass. It says Boishish, the sixth hour. Boishish means delayed, but it comes from the same shorash as the word Sheish, so the third of the day had already passed. And then the Satan mixes in, and he shows them an image of Moshe Rabbeinu lying dead, and they're carrying him to his Levaya, and that's when they really got scared, and they came, and they asked Aaron for something. For what? What are they asking Aaron for? What can he help? So it seems, according to many of the Mefarshim, that what they wanted to do was replace Moshe Rabbeinu, not replace HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but replace Moshe Rabbeinu, because they saw Moshe Rabbeinu as the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was the one, Hashem was leading them through the Midbar, clearly, but who was practically being the go-between between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whom they didn't see and they couldn't speak to his people down here was Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the one who practically split the sea. He was the one who, before that, interceded with Paro. He was the one who affected the Makos. He's the one who fought against the Malek. And if he's dead, well then, we need to find a substitute, some other chefet, some other something or someone who can act as the intermediary at this point. Which means when they said, Ela Lehecha Yisrael, they didn't really mean that this Egel is the God that took us out of Mitzrayim. They know that he's not. But what they're saying is, this is the representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the one who took us out of Mitzrayim. Meaning Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, but the Shechina is now going to rest on this Egel, and like it used to rest on Moshe Rabbeinu, and let this Egel be the representative. So then we ask, what's the problem? Meaning, okay, it might not be a good thing, but it certainly lessens their crime. They knew that there was going to be an intermediary. They knew that. They knew that there was going to be something in between. They had just sang it in Shiras Hayam after Kriyas Yamsuf. They said, and we say it every day, meaning, they knew that in the future when Hashem is going to bring us and implant us on Har Nachalasecha in Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash there, and that Beis HaMikdash is going to be the place from where the Shechina will emanate. Now in the Midbar, they're going to have a Mishkan. So is it so bad that Klal Yisrael wanted this intermediary already now? So if they built a calf instead of Kruvim, what is the, which we spoke about two weeks ago, what is the great anger that we're still suffering from today? So much so that it says that any punishment that we get, anytime we suffer here now, a little bit, a tiny little bit, is to b'mechaper on cheta egel, meaning that had the entire correction come at that time of egel, we wouldn't have continued to survive. So what Moshe Rabbeinu was able to effect for us was not the full consequence of the actions immediately at that time, but over history, which means we're still struggling with this. And for what? Meaning, what was the avodah zarah here if they weren't turning this calf into a god, if they were turning it into an intermediary? And Rav Nevenzel answers this question, and he says, the big problem here is that the Yidden thought that they could and that they should decide that there should be the intermediary and what that intermediary should be, meaning that you have an opinion of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu should lead his nation. They thought they can decide for themselves what Hashem should rest the Shechina on. They were so sure about this that they didn't even think to ask. They didn't wait for a heavenly sign. They didn't wait for a command. They made the decision themselves. This is going to be it. They didn't ask Aaron and Hur, who were the leaders that Moshe Rabbeinu had left behind, should we make this egel? In fact, when Hur said, I don't think this is a good idea, you shouldn't be making this egel, they killed him. They didn't daven to Hashem, Ana Hashem, Hashrei Shechinascha al ha'egel hazeh, the same way that we daven every day, Hashavis ha'avayda ledvir beisacha, Kodesh Baruch Hu, please bring us back home. They made a decision. Their mistake was a fundamental one, and in fact, it does fall into the category of avodah zarah. We're not in charge. We can't force Hashem to bring His Shechina onto anything. We don't force Hashem to do anything at all. He is the one who decides, not us. He's the one that tells us what to do, not the other way around. We can't build an egel and then tell Hashem, we think you should rest your Shechina on this egel. And when they tried to do that by saying, we're going to build this egel and then it will be an intermediary and then Hashem will rest the Shechina there, that's a problem. That's not understanding the whole role that we play in this world and who we are in this world and what it is. And unfortunately, it's still a problem, a pretty big problem that we have today. Sometimes we look at our actions and we say things like, if I'm going to do A, B, and C, then Hashem will have to do what I want. He'll have to give me what I want. He'll have to answer my tefillas or respond to my skulas. So whatever it is that we're doing. And I'm not saying that tefillas don't work. And I'm not saying that skulas don't work. And of course they do. And of course sometimes the bracha is there waiting for us. If only we ask for it. And so we have to daven and we do the skulas. And we certainly believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. But it's not that he must do it because I'm pushing the right buttons. I'm saying the words in the right order. I'm having the kavanas to do A, B, and C, or I'm repeating this mizmor of Tehillim over many times, or whatever it is. These things are important, and tefillos work, and they really work, and there's a necessity to daven, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the bracha when we daven for it. But we can't reverse our roles. It's not that we're doing something and Hashem has to listen to us, or that he'll have no choice but to give us what we want. It's the entirely wrong perception. And as we see from the egel, can border on avodah zarah, because we are dependent on him and he is the one who decides what to do. And that's why when building the Mishkan and building the Mikdash, which were the physical manifestations of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina was going to rest, there was no room for creativity or innovation. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu how many boards would be on the north and how many on the west, what the menorah should look like and where the flowers should be. He didn't say, build me a menorah. He told them exactly how to. And so too, when we build the third base of Mikdash, we'll have our plans. It's crucial that we understand that there really is no intermediary and it's all Ratzon Hashem. And that was the mistake of the Egel. They tried to make their own decisions and take matters into their own hands. We don't tell Hashem where to rest the Shechina. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up, he told them, if you have any questions, ask Aaron or Hur. But the Pasuk says that when it says, Vayikahel ha'am el Aaron, it doesn't say El Aron with an aleph, it says Al Aron with an ayin, meaning it's not that they came to Aron, it's like they came on Aron, telling him what to do, dictating to him how to act. Had they asked, they would have been told, but they didn't ask. They commanded. They said, this is what we want done. And Reb Neben Zal relates a story that happened to his father, that at one point the Jerusalem Post newspaper came to him and they asked him the question, Mahu lida'atcha, according to your opinion, what is the tafkidam shal rabbanim? What is the tafkid of the rabbanim? What is the job of the rabbanim? And he responded and he says, we don't tell the rabbanim what their job is. The rabbanim tells us what our job is, meaning that the rabbanim who are speaking and reflecting and guiding and directing, they tell us what to do. It's not we that tell the rabbanim what to do. And of course, depending on when you're listening to this, either right before or right after Purim, this was one of the big mistakes of Purim, and this is one of the biggest corrections of Purim. Because what happens is Mordechai tells them not to go to the party, and they thought they knew better. They thought that he might be a very good Rav, and he might have a very good understanding on halachas, but he doesn't know geopolitics. And therefore, when he's looking at the scene and telling us not to go to the party, he's missing the point, because it's very important for us politically to go to this party. We need to be there. And what happens is they do go to the party and nothing happens to them. Nothing bad happens. And it's only years later when Mordechai refuses to bow to Haman and Klal Yisrael are in such big trouble. And it would look to the eye like it was Mordechai who was causing the problems to Klal Yisrael, because really, if you don't want to bow to Haman, then just stay home. But don't walk in front of Haman and don't bow. And when the decree comes out, it looks like Mordechai is causing trouble. And their big tikkun, their big correction, their big understanding, their big tshuva came when they took a step back and they said, you know what? It may look like Mordechai is causing the problems, but really what Mordechai said is true. We should not have eaten at that party, which happened so many years ago and is not logically connected. But they recognized and realized this thing, this piece. And they said that we have to not tell Mordechai what to do. And we have to not tell Esther what to do. We have to listen to them. And we have to, if they're telling us to go and daven, then that's what we have to do. And that's the point here. That was the point of Purim, was that recognition and realization. That was their mistake by Chet Egel, by thinking that we are the ones in charge and we're the ones that are going to decide. This was the problem, at least according to some. This was where the mistake lay. And I think this is what we can learn for ourselves during our generation, is to recognize and realize that there are things that we must do, there are things we can do, and there are things that we must do, but are in our heads and our hearts, we have to realize that we're not the ones that are in charge. We're the ones that are dependent. We're the ones that are asking. We're the ones that are needing. And we're not the ones that are making the decisions, not then in Shushan, not then in the Midbar, and certainly not today.